Excited to welcome our newest sponsor to the Papa Bear Hikes podcast. Why am I excited and who is this new sponsor? Let's find out. Well, today we're doing something we haven't done in a while. We're going to highlight one of our sponsors. And this is a sponsor that I am so excited to welcome on board with the Papa Bear Hikes podcast, because this is a product, a company I've used many of their products that I really feel I could get behind. Here to speak to us about our new sponsor is a woman who has thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail. She did this at 21 after graduating college from her hometown in Asheville, North Carolina. Along the way, she built a freelance company creating content for gear and media companies, hiked another few thousand miles, and is now a community manager for Sawyer Products. Katie Oates Houston, welcome to Papa Bear Hikes.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be representing Sawyer and also chatting with you.
Yeah, Katie, I've got to tell you, I've been using Sawyer products for years. And people, this isn't me just pitching because I have a new sponsor, okay? We know what sponsorship means. If you've listened long enough, you've heard me go on about my Sawyer water filters and my using a permethrin, coating my clothes with permethrin. So this isn't just me pitching you. This is me speaking from the heart when I talk about getting behind this product and this sponsor. But Katie, first, I want to talk about you because you have a bit of an interesting and incredible story to tell us as well. I want to start with this, your trail name, Oates, because everybody always likes to hear that story. Where'd you get your trail name from?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny. I still go by my trail name in a lot of circles, Sawyer included. So my email is oats@sawyer.com. Ironically, my first name is actually Catherine. My mom named me proper Catherine, even though she always wanted to call me Katie, to kind of get me further professionally speaking. And now I go by my trail name professionally, which is hilarious to me. But I got the name because my last year of college, I lived with my grandma. We shared a single wide trailer. It was a really great experience. We would have breakfast together every couple days. And she would always leave out just like the very basic brown sugar oatmeal Quaker packets in a little bowl for me. And that I would just heat it up. And that was my breakfast in the morning. She'd have her bowl of Cheerios. And as I was preparing to go on the AT, she, being a grandma, got very worried and wanted some kind of control over the situation. So she packed me a little quart-sized bag of oats, just like poured the bags into a quart-sized bag and gave me that and said, here. I said, great, thank you. I did not have the heart to tell her that I was not bringing a stove, and I was a college student, so I did not have the money to turn down free food. So I took the bag of oats and took off on the trail, and literally the first day my spoon broke in half and I got to Springer Mountain. It was 6 and cold. It was February and dark, and I was eating my dry oats with my spoon, my half broken. That one kind of settled. Oats kind of settled over the next couple of days. I was very nearly a chipper and a sunshine, but I could not keep up the disposition of somebody with that trail name for 2,200 miles. So I'm glad I went with something a bit more neutral.
Yeah, they always say you're better off going out there with a trail name than having them make one up for you out there. You just never know what you're going to be called.
That's true. As long as you're accepting one that feels good to you. I've heard some wild ones that people really resonate with.
Yeah. And you're right. Once you start hiking, I go through it. You know, people, you know, call me Papa Bear. And that was my trail name, right? So, yeah. And it sticks with you. Well, that's why it's Papa Bear Hikes. I've been going by that as my trail name for 30 years. So this was your dream. And did you grow up in Asheville, North Carolina? Because, yeah, you're not far from the Appalachian Trail. That's why I ask.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Asheville. My family was not particularly outdoorsy, but my dad built me a treehouse at one point when I was a kid. And I slept in it like every night for 2 years as ages 10 through 12 or something. So They were like, we got to get this girl in some kind of outdoors program. So I was a part of TASC, the American Adventure Service Corps. It's like a local nonprofit to Asheville. And we would go on weekend trips once a month. And my first trip was on the Appalachian Trail with them. Just a little 6 mile hike total, carrying our 30 pound backpacks. We're all like 100 pounds and, cook on our giant metal alcohol stoves, you know, the external frame packs and everything. And I loved it. I loved it. A couple of my supervisors there, or the counselors, I guess, had done the AT a couple of times. And I love the Appalachians. I love where I'm from. And so it just kind of felt right that that was in my neck of the woods, start in Georgia and walk up to New England, somewhere I had never even been before. It really resonated as the kind of wild thing I wanted to do after college before I got I buckled down and got an environmental science minded career, 9 to 5, you know, did that for the next 4 decades. I'm really grateful that the trail kind of opened my eyes to different opportunities there.
Yeah, because two things that I want to address here. But the first one is, you know, I grew up not far from the AT. I grew up in New Jersey, right outside New York City. And that's where my love for the AT started. That's what got me into hiking. My first trip up there, 7 years old, and meeting a thru hiker. And thinking, wow, that is so cool. And saying to my dad afterwards, you mean he hiked all the way from Georgia to Maine? You know, because I always had an obsession with the states and state capitals. So, you know, this was something even at that age, I was like, wow, that's a long way to walk. Yeah. So I think when you grow up close enough to it and you experience that one time, that love affair starts with it.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it definitely felt like I was in my own stomping grounds. The woods kind of felt like home to me. And even coming back now, I'll rehike different sections, parts of different trails that are just overlapping with sections I've done. And even knowing from when I was a kid on those sections to being in college to where I am now, it's just kind of a beautiful touch point to keep coming back to. Yeah.
My first trip was up the Sunfish Pond, which is a thru hiker you might be familiar with, right? You come out of the Delaware Water Gap and that rocky, steep climb.
I remember that well. Yeah.
You realize that the rocks don't stop when you cross the bridge into New Jersey, right?
Somehow they don't. My favorite fact about New Jersey is it has the most black bears per capita on the AT.
Yes. And that's amazing because back in the early 70s, there weren't any. There were some black bear sightings in Pennsylvania, and we used to joke, okay, maybe they just don't feel like swimming across the river to get here. And it's in the 80s, we became much more environmental conscious in the 70s. So by the 80s, we were starting to see the results of that, where we were seeing more wildlife coming back into the area. Bald eagles had come back, and bears. And now bears, from what I understand, can be found in every county in New Jersey, which amazes me.
Yeah, they're all over Western North Carolina too. My mom actually texted me this morning and said that my grandma's newspaper delivery person hit a bear on her drive to deliver newspapers today and completely totaled her car. And thankfully she's physically okay. But it's real. Jennifer Farr Davis hit a bear on a highway going into Tennessee last year. And so she's really championing like wildlife corridors over highways and stuff like that. It's a really interesting development. I'm excited to see kind of how we continue to navigate our relationship with wildlife as it changes.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't, because I use Sawyer water filters. Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through the process. I've been using their permethrin product for years now to protect me from, well, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible, high-quality products that they offer those of us who enjoy the outdoors.
Yeah, and you know, the pendulum has moved the other way, as you said, right? It's switched. It's swung over the other way. So yeah, now how do we protect ourselves? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm never scared when I'm out there hiking, but you know, in your car, it's a little scary if you're going 55, 60 miles per hour and you hit a black bear.
Oh yeah. One of my favorite pieces of gear is my bear canister, because I have gnarly anxiety, and having it just makes all of that anxiety melt away, because I can just put my food far away from me and I don't have to worry about it. I love my bear canister, but I also love the quote that's like, the overlap of the dumbest humans and the smartest bears is very difficult to make technology for bear canisters. Right. I thought that was, is quite funny.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear about the bear canister. I'm a big advocate of bear canisters for a good reason. I really stink at trying to hang a bag. Okay.
Me too. Same boat.
Yeah. I bring a bear canister because yes. And when I've brought a bear bag with me, I hike the long trail. I use that method. Now, fortunately, it was an area where there were a lot of, they had boxes set up to put your food. But anytime I hang a bear bag, it's, I go to bed thinking, oh, I hope it's safe. Every noise, every thump I hear is like, could that be my food?
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to just be able to roll it into the woods and yeah. It'll be there in the morning, most likely. I'm seeing more and more about putting a tracker in your bear canister so you can find it in the morning if a bear starts knocking it around. I have put reflective tape on mine so I can see it with my headlamp, but when it's already light out, I haven't run into that situation yet, but I'm sure it's coming and I'm just going to laugh about it when it does.
Right. And, you know, you talk about, you know, the smartest bears out there. Well, you know, they're finding out they already can associate food with people, with hikers, right? So how long is it before they see that little black thing or that little blue clear canister and say, hey, there's food inside that thing. You know, let me see if I can get inside of it. And right. Like you said, they just knock that thing around. Yeah, I just read an article that, yeah, putting tracking devices inside your bear canisters, probably the next thing we're going to start seeing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I haven't had any problems with that happening, but not yet. Right. I love that word. Not yet.
Yep. Not yet. Exactly. You do enough hiking, like you're on the trail enough, it's inevitable that some wild things are going to happen.
Right. Now, Katie, you through hiking, you came back and this became, you turned this from a passion to a living. And I always talk when I talk to guests, I said, that's something I love hearing. Was there a point along your hike where you made the decision, when I finish this up, I'm not going to just go to working in a cubicle 9 to 5. I'm going to work a job that I really feel like I can put my heart into.
No, honestly, I not on the hike. I didn't have that realization. It was honestly about when COVID hit that I realized I could put some more energy into this thing that's not currently making me money, to just try and set myself up for it. Like I really, what was important to me was giving myself like the best shot I could at breaking into the industry. And if it happens, that's amazing. And if it doesn't in like a year, year and a half, then I need to pivot back to actual career. I really wanted to not get too big for my britches, I guess. And so I was actually living at Woods Hole Hostel in Virginia, right off the AT. It was one of my favorite places on my through hike, and Neville is wonderful. So early 2020, I was doing a work for stay and I was planning on being there the entire season. And then COVID hit and the hospitality industry shut down, and we really had no idea what to do. And so ended up moving to Texas, lived in a camper, built a school bus. I did lots of random things with my time because I was no longer employed. Before that, I had worked rock and mineral shows because my degree is in geology. And so I was working wholesale shows, going from Tucson to Denver. I worked about 3 months out of the year, but it was 80-hour weeks and they were for like 6 weeks at a time. So it was a little... it was a lot. It was really fun and good for me at the time, but I saw that I would need to pivot to something more regular and frankly lucrative, in the future. So I started building out my freelance stuff. I got an internship at the Trek doing their social media, and I actually held that position with Zach until February of this year, when Zach gave Sawyer my name. And Sawyer was looking for somebody to manage their hiking and lifestyle community. And I'm oozing passion and enthusiasm And I think they appreciated that. So they, Zach gave them my name, and all of my other clients, like my, the gear and manufacturing companies that I've written for and done some work for, have all been very real partnerships. I'm wearing my App Gear Co. hoodie right now. I love Hyperlite Mountain Gear. It's all felt very, very authentic. Kind of getting to, like, all of the pitches that I have pitched to companies. Like, I think my first one was about bouncing back from injury on the AT, where I had an Achilles tendonitis issue and kind of had to learn to navigate that. Took 3 weeks off trail. So that was one of the first articles I wrote, just because I wrote about what I knew. But now I'm writing about interviews with other incredible people with totally different stories, and also writing about international purpose work. So stuff that's going on, like clean water in the Marshall Islands and in Kibera, and water in a soup kitchen in Peru. And it's so fascinating how, like, wide my scope of work has become with this job with Sawyer. And I'm immensely grateful for it. I think one of the most important things when I hopped on the team was I asked them what success looked like in this position, just because there's so much out there on social media, so many different ways to go. I wanted to see what their goals were. And they told me that it was not in the metrics, and it was not in engagement or likes or numbers, but rather in the authenticity and the diversity and the stories we were telling. And so shifting my perspective from, like, I work in social media, or like I'm an influencer, to I'm helping people tell stories, is like their stories. Like, that's really empowering, both for me and I hope for all the community that we work with.
There's a lot of gear companies out there, as you know, and some of them are not so good, right? We're not going to name them, but, you know, there's some garbage out there, right? There's some crap out there, but you're working for a company that, when it comes to water filtration, insect repellents, you know, the permethrin products, that's the gold standard for the outdoor community.
My job is so easy because the products are top of the line. Like, I was using them too before Sawyer even, before I was working with Sawyer. It was the filter I used on the AT after I realized iodine drops were not the way to go. and it kept the ticks off of me. And it's interesting, all the stuff I'm still learning about the company, honestly. Hopping on in February, I didn't know that you could use permethrin for your dog. So I'm, like, treating my dogs, her flea and tick treatment now is permethrin, which is, and it's effective. It's more like, I actually believe in it. I like it. It's not a medicated thing. It's not going into their body. But when the tick, it doesn't take the tick biting the animal to be effective. So when my husky comes into the tent at night with me, the ticks on her that didn't bite her aren't just going to crawl onto me. They're going to fall off because her fur is what's treated with permethrin. So it's cool seeing, like, it's actually the highest quality experience that you're going to get. And it makes me more comfortable on all of my outdoor adventures. And I love being able to tell people about it, because I think it really addresses some of those big fears that keep people out of the outdoors. Like, how am I going to get clean water? What about the bugs? What about tick-borne diseases? And it's like, well, there's actually a solution, and it works, and it's affordable, and it's sustainable. Like, that's and it very authentic. It feels really good being able to champion a brand like that.
Right. And as you said, these are important elements for people that are venturing to the outdoors, especially new people, right? Because these are some of the things that they're going to genuinely be concerned about, right? I'm going to be out there for this many days. Well, I need to drink water. Well, I can't just drink out of a stream. That could be dangerous. And, well, I want to make sure the water filter I'm using is actually going to filter the water. How do I prevent getting a tick bite? That's a real thing. Lyme disease is real. It's still there, right? Still have to be concerned about it. And to be able to get behind something you've used and been happy with, that's incredible. That's just great. I love hearing that. Here's something else I really like about Sawyer. Not everybody does this, but they're setting a standard. I believe that, you know, they're ahead of the curve on this. not just taking from the outdoor community, but giving back. And they're not just doing it here in the United States on the big three trails. They're going to places where there are no hikers. People don't know about through hiking. Tell us a little bit about philanthropy work that Sawyer's involved with.
Yeah, so Sawyer has been doing international clean water work, purpose work since 2008. And we have over 140 charity partners, from the Red Cross to Water with Blessings to the Bucket Ministry, in over 80 countries, and doing clean water work, giving communities clean access, sustainable access to clean water. So they train them on how to back flush the filters. One filter can give somebody, a family, clean water for over a decade if it's continually back flushed and taken care of. And these are really taken care of, because it's what is giving that family access to clean water. It's really important. So it's interesting to come from the United States, where someone would rather buy a new filter than back flush it, to these countries where it's really, really making an impact. So we do transformational programs. So that's in the Marshall Islands this year, KEO, which is their women-led volunteer organization in the Marshall Islands, they just finished a five-year project where they got Sawyer filters border to border. Every single village in the country was given a Sawyer water filter. And they started with the most vulnerable populations. They started at the outer islands and the remote islands and worked their way into the bigger population centers, which was just really interesting. So there's so much diversity in those stories too, whether it's our tap filter actually came about because of the clean water need abroad. In Egypt, they are taking water directly from the Nile, and it's coming through plumbing and pipes instead of rainwater catchment. And so for rainwater catchment, we give people our international bucket system with a squeeze on the end. But when it's coming out of the pipe, we weren't able to help them. And so we developed the tap filter, and the tap filter is now a functional product for folks to use that have plumbing that's not potable water. So it's so cool to see this technology used in so many different ways. And the it's always very locally empowered. The change is really coming at a community level, whether in all of the countries abroad. The trainings to make sure that people know how to use them and maintain are in, their native languages. And it's, I believe Sawyer hasn't been talking about their philanthropy work until recently. And so that was a part of when I jumped on the team, they kind of wanted to start telling that story more. So marketing over the last couple of years has been sending kind of outdoor thought leaders, leaders in the industry, creatives abroad to tell these stories. So Miranda Goes Outside went to Honduras earlier this year to celebrate the Water Women and 15 years of clean water in Honduras. Dan Becker went to Kibera and to Egypt over the last 2 years. Darwin and Jennifer Farr Davis, one of our wonderful ambassadors, they and her family went to Fiji to tell the story of Give Clean Water there. So it's so, so cool figuring out all of these different ways to tell this story and get people to care about issue that they might not see every day, but is impacting over 2 billion people worldwide.
Here in the United States, right, we buy the Sawyer filter because we're going to be out. We're making a decision. We've made a choice. We're going to go out and hike for days, weeks, or months at a time, and we want to be safe. But we're so far removed from populations where finding clean water or just wanting to have clean water for recreation purposes, that's not the situation. They want clean water so they don't get sick, so the children don't get sick.
The research we have is also so interesting. Lots of GIS work and checking in a year after, 2 years after, a week after. But the diarrhea reduction rates are over 90%. And that is so huge, especially for communities that are already malnourished. And so hearing people in those charities going back to visit these villages and the kids are healthier and they can see it, that's pretty cool. That's a pretty big impact that one little filter can have.
And I talk about their products glowingly, right? Raving about their products. But yeah, then, the idea that when I buy one of their products, they're sharing the wealth worldwide, right? It's like, okay, I am benefiting from this. I'm making money from this as a business owner. I have employees. But now, and this is the way I would like to look at it, I'm going to be responsible and use some of my wealth to help other people who don't have the financial ability to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Sawyer is really fundamentally philanthropic and has been. 2008 is when the international program started, but Sawyer's been donating over 90% of their profits to clean water projects around the world. And not just the transformational programs, we have disaster relief programs and we help in refugee camps. We're a little all over the place, but we kind of go where the need is. Is so nice to have that flexibility as well to try and make the biggest impact we can instead of trying to make the biggest impact possible with what we have.
Right. And companies that size, it's not unusual just say, okay, we're making money. How do we make more? Let's throw some breadcrumbs somewhere so everybody says, hey, look at us. Aren't we charitable?
It's a family-owned business. Yeah, it was founded in 84. Kurt, he's the head of our company. It's truly just incredibly philanthropic values and sticking to that. I'm just very grateful to kind of share that value with this company. It's very just so grateful. Like the I know a lot of companies, especially like cottage gear in this industry, really can't afford to make too much of an impact. But I'm just grateful that Sawyer takes its position and actually like puts money where their mouth is.
Right. And that's why I say companies of that size, because you're right. There's a lot of smaller companies that I'm sure if they had the money of Sawyer, they would get on board, because I've spoken to a lot of the owners of those companies. But I'm not going to name the companies here, but there's some pretty big companies out there that you just see some, PR gratuitous charity work being done from time to time.
I think that was what they were trying to avoid in the 10 or 15 years that they weren't talking about the purpose work from 2008 to maybe 2020. And so it's interesting to see that pivot and have it be received so well by the community. We've gotten really wonderful feedback and it's cool getting our Sawyer Squad requests in and kind of fielding those. And a lot of them now are like, I've used my Mini for 8 years. I've used my Squeeze for a decade. And I love the purpose work that you're doing abroad. Like hearing that from specifically from the community is really encouraging. And really encouraging.
And Katie, I also noticed, I went on your website, you are planning to do a section hike of the Florida Trail.
That's right. I actually last night was just on my spreadsheet kind of making reservations at different campgrounds. I kind of just hike wherever my life takes me. And this January, it's taken me to Florida. So I'm excited to just get on the trail. I have my dog, so I have to be mindful of places that she's allowed and places she isn't. And it'll be my first long trip with my, I say new camper, but it's a 1990, which is older than me, with my, my little Class C camper. And it's just going to be me and my dog. And I really value experiences like that. Also getting to touch base with the Sawyer crew, cause they're headquartered in Safety Harbor, is going to be really cool. Get some FaceTime with everybody because I work remotely. So I only get to see them in these little boxes every so often. It'll be really nice to be in person.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, those in-person encounters, making it more personal and strengthen those working relationships for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the Florida Trail, that's an interesting trail. I've spoken to a few people that have thru-hiked it or section hiked, and that's a tough trail, right? A lot of people might look at that and say, well, Florida's flat. How hard? I've hiked the AT or the CDT. How hard could the Florida Trail be? All right.
Flat is hard. flat is so difficult. I did the Lone Star hiking trail in 2021, and that's like 100 miles in Texas, flat as can be. And there is something about not going, like there's no ups and downs. And so your body is only using the same muscles all day long and there's no change. And that is so much more difficult for my body than like actually switching with ups and downs. And even mentally, kind of having the different climbs to look forward to and breaking up your day into, okay, I'm going to do this mountain in the morning and then I'll hit a river at 2:00. But it's not, it's just not like that when it's so flat. You just kind of gotta go. I actually am bringing my penny board so I can do some skateboarding along the way too, because there's so many roadblocks and stuff.
Well, okay, that's a good way to get by the roadblocks on that trail. Skateboard them. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love my little skateboard. My dog pulls me on it sometimes when she's not too tired.
Oh, geez. That's great. I've looked at the Florida Trail. I might do sections of it, but you know what? That southern section in the Everglades scares me a little bit, quite honestly.
Me too. It's like how I imagine people feel that live somewhere where black bears aren't, and then they go somewhere where they are, and they're like, this is terrifying. I feel like that's how I am about alligators.
Yeah. I interviewed Jupiter from Jupiter Hikes. I don't know if you've
been. Yeah.
I had him on a year ago, and he's from Florida. And I said to him, I said, you know, honestly, alligators scare the heck out of me. He says, you grew up in the Northeast around bears. You know, because you realize people down here, when we go up there, we're afraid of bears.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I'm excited. I'm excited to get, tis the season, honestly. I am not a huge fan of super cold weather anymore. I feel like I did my time on the AT and now I'm going to Florida for January.
You know what? I'm with you on that. Recently, you know, my wife wants to move into a warmer climate. And for a while, I was like, I don't know. I like being up here in New York where I've got the Adirondacks, the Catskills, the ATs nearby. But a year and a half ago, we were down there and where we were staying had a bicycle. It was January. And I had shorts and a t-shirt on and went out for a bike ride, came back and said, maybe I can get used to this. Being able to go out in January and not bundle up.
The vitamin D in the middle of winter is really hard to beat.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. Any other adventures, Katie, on the radar for you?
Oh gosh. I'm hoping to go to as many festivals as I can next year. I had so much fun last year I did the AT kickoff at Amicalola Falls, got to do Trail Days, which was my first time at Trail Days ever. And I was working it with Sawyer, which just felt like a dream come true. I got to go to PCT Days, which was my first time in the Pacific Northwest, which was also a dream come true. So I'm excited to just hit all of those again with kind of everything I've learned from the last year and the confidence I feel like I've gained. I'm really excited to kind of jump into all of those next year and more. I've just got an email this morning about the Leave No Trace Summit in Boulder in September. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to go to that. I got to go to the Partnership for the National Trails Conference and go to some really fascinating workshops. And the hotel was dog friendly, so my dog came with me to all of them. So all of these different like community festivals and such have just been really cool to go to. And I'm excited about what this next year holds. I honestly can't even tell you how many I'm going to, because I'm just kind of going to say yes to most of them that come in my path and go from there.
Yeah, I can imagine. It is fun when you get around other hikers, right? If I come across somebody or a group of people, or I'm even interviewing somebody and they say, well, I hiked the Long Trail and this year, I'm like, oh, wow, really? Yes. And, you know, there's a bond that you start to create there within the community. For sure.
Totally. Yeah. Whether it's the people like I know from social media, or it's somebody that has never been backpacking before, doesn't know anything about backpacking. Those are kind of my favorite conversations to have, because I get to say, look at this. Like my favorite is showing kids. I have my own squeeze that like I use on trail that I've had forever. And I'll just, it's got dirty water in it. You can see the dirt. And I'll say, I go out and I find a river and I fill it up and I just drink it just like this. And kids are like, wow, it blows their mind. So I, talking to people that are actually relatively unfamiliar with backpacking is one of my favorite parts of doing in-person events.
Yeah. On the note of kids and those filters, for 2 years in a row, I took a group of Boy Scouts out on the Appalachian Trail from, you know, 1 year we did, yeah, Delaware Water Gap up to High Point. And then the second year we did 17C in New York to High Point. But we had them each purchase, part of the cost was the mini. They had been on trips before the previous 2 years. We were using, you know, those old heavier pump filters, and you'd have, mm-hmm. you know, 12 people and two filters and everybody waiting to fill up their bottles. And that's when I made the decision, like, these things are affordable enough. Everybody gets their own filter. So when we get to a creek, everybody just starts filling up their water bottles. And the kids thought it was great. The 1 year we did a river trip, we were as part of our AT hike. And one of the kids thought it was so cool that he can lean out his canoe and drink water with the filter. He rigged it up with a straw. He was literally just leaning over the canoe.
I love that. I love those kinds of experiences. That's something that they're going to talk about forever. Maybe it inspired them to do another hike later. That's so cool. I love hanging out with kids that are might not even know how cool it is, because I felt that. And it feels kind of like paying it forward.
It is so rewarding as an adult, because you don't go into it for the rewards, but it is, it's rewarding years later when I see pictures or a kid reaches out to me and tells me they just hiked this trail or they're doing this peak list. They think, okay, all right, maybe they were listening a little bit. Maybe they did have more fun than I thought.
Yeah, right. In the moment, it's always, there's the highs and the lows, but you know, you get home and you're like, that was an adventure. That's fulfillment, you know?
Yeah.
At least for me, it is.
Katie, if we want to follow you on some of your adventures or seeing what you're up to, how can we find you?
Absolutely. I am Oats Hikes on pretty much every social platform. I also have a website where you can just kind of read articles that I've recently written and trail logs from recent trails I've been on. That's oatshikes.com. But I'm also all over Sawyer. So you can also reach me at the Sawyer Products Instagram and the DMs, just Sawyer Products on most platforms. And Sawyer.com is also a fantastic resource for anybody who has general questions about the brand. But also feel free to say hi to me in the DMs, because that's me coming through them and putting content out there. So really, I'm pretty accessible.
Now, typically at this point, I'll say, how can we purchase a Sawyer filter? But I don't think there's an outdoor store in the country or online that doesn't carry Sawyer filters or Sawyer products. Yeah, just go on wherever you buy your outdoor gear from, you'll find a Sawyer. You'll find a Sawyer stuff.
That's true.
Whether it's the permethrin, the water filters, it's there.
We love our mom and pop shops. I'll always shout out a good trail shop.
That's right. Support your local businesses first. Absolutely. Katie Oates Houston, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this. And we are so excited for this partnership that's kicking off now. I'm so excited to be working with Sawyer.
Yeah, you too. I'm excited to continue to collaborate over the next season and see what your community gets up to. Thank you so much for having me on.
Everybody, get outside, have some fun. Thanks for listening. If you haven't done so yet, go to our website, papabearhikes.com. Listen to past episodes. Check us out on social media. Go to our YouTube channel, Martin Outside. All those links are there. In addition to that, you can buy our book or see what you're missing out on if you're not a Patreon member yet. Remember to get outside, have fun, and be safe. This episode of Papa Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.